Welcome everyone to Parshas Tazria Metzora. The year is 5764. This is the 3316th time that we're reading this Parsha. Now, Tazria and Metzora is known for dealing with a very difficult subject, a subject which we know not much about, other than what we read. It's the laws of tzara'as, of afflictions. We don't experience these afflictions today, and the Torah outlines the ideas of tzara'as. The very first paragraph is really about childbirth and circumcision. So what I am referring to is beginning with chapter 13, going throughout the rest of Tazria and into most of Metzora. And the Torah says that if a person experiences, sees on his body or on his clothing or even on the walls of his house some signs, some spots, white spots with or green or red, and they have certain properties, he must go to the Kohen and ask him to render a decision whether this is in fact an affliction which causes him to be impure or not. And whatever the Kohen says, he must follow a course of treatment. It may involve being sent home, that everything's fine. It may involve being secluded in his home for a week, and then a re-examination. It may involve a status of impure, where he would have to leave the camp of Israel and be there indefinitely until the affliction goes away. Certainly sounds very foreign to us, and most commonly throughout the ages, the translators and the commentators have try to find a parallel between tzara'as and medical conditions known in medical science. I've even heard it. I don't even know if this was my idea or not, but the word tzara'as sounds very similar to the word psoriasis, and maybe one could give a parallel. In many translations, it's called leprosy, which was a medical skin condition, but. But suffice it to say that the Jewish tradition, anyway, is that these are not things that are treatable by medical science. It can only be dealt with by following the course described here, which involves going to a Kohen. Now, in our oral tradition, we know a little bit more. What causes a person to have tzara'as? It is sin. The most common of which is the sin of lashon hara, of evil talk. But the Talmud says it could be due to a number of different things. Most of them are ills of society. Not paying people on time, or I forget the list right now. It's listed in the Talmud, 7 or 8 other things. But the most common, stinginess. The most common, however, is lashon hara. And so, presumably, when one goes to the Kohen and the Kohen renders a decision, it is going to be a period, it's going to require more than just waiting, it's going to be require some level of some serious introspection, which will be followed up by penitence and resolution to change one's ways and to discontinue the negative behavior, and this is what's going to ultimately remove the sign from him. What I wanted to talk about today, which is a subject which I found in Michtav Eliyahu by Rabbi Dessler, who is our Parsha guide this year. The topic that I found related to the Parsha, Rabbi Dessler does not write on the Parsha itself. But when I looked up at the table of contents, I ended up at an essay, which which was transcribed from a lecture that Rav Dessler gave about healing. And as the Torah says, "Varapo yirape," and he shall surely be healed. And we know a doctor in Hebrew is called a rofe, and that root rapo or rape is the Hebrew word for healer. And so there is a whole discussion about the Torah's attitude towards healing and towards the medical profession. And I thought it was very interesting, related to the Parsha. And we'll see just how related it is. So the question is, what's the Torah's view on medical treatment? Rabbi Dessler cites two quotations from two of the greatest commentators who are also physicians, Nachmanides, Ramban, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, and Maimonides, Rambam. They both lived around 800 or 900 years ago, and they were both great Torah scholars and authorities as well as physicians. But when you read what comes out of their pens, it sounds like they belong to two different religions. The quote from Nachmanides is to the Parsha Bechukosai in Leviticus at the end of this book. And some of the highlights of this quotation. He cites a verse in Shmos, Mishalach, which we read a couple of weeks ago. The Jews had just come out of Egypt. They had also crossed over the sea. And they came upon some challenges, some physical challenges, lack of water, lack of food. And at one point when God gave them water through a miraculous way by throwing, they found water, but it was bitter. He threw some wood into the water, and the water became drinkable and sweet. Hashem said, or Moshe said to the people as follows, Vayomer im shamoa tishma lakol Hashem alokecha, vayashar be'enov taseh, vihazanto lemitzvosov, vishomarto kol chukov, kol hamachalo asher samti v'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. He said, Moshe, if you hearken diligently to the voice of Hashem your God, and do what is just in his eyes, give ear to his commandments and observe all his decrees, then any of the diseases that I placed in Egypt I will not bring upon you. For I am Hashem, your healer. Ani Hashem Rofecha. Your Rofe, your doctor. He also quotes a verse in Divrei Hayamim, the second book of Chronicles, which speaks about two men who were sick. One was the king Hezekiah, and also another man, Asa. And they are both criticized. And it says as following about Asa. Asa became ill in his legs in the 39th year of his reign, until his illness spread upwards. Also in his illness, he did not seek out Hashem, but only doctors. So Nachmanides says that it says in our Torah and in our scriptures, in our Tanakh, that when a person, God forbid, gets sick, he has to turn to Hashem. And not to doctors. And so Nachmanides says, his conclusion from this is, that what says Hadoresh Hashem the Navi lo yidrosh berofim, one who seeks God perhaps through a prophet should not seek the doctors. Uma chelek lerofim beveis osei ratzon Hashem, what position or what portion is there for doctors in the household of one who does the will of God? What business is there for a doctor in the house of one who does the will of Hashem? This is, no, in other words, it's a rhetorical statement. He also quotes the Talmud that says, Ein darkom shel b'nei adam b'refuos elisha nohagu. It is not the ideal path of people to be involved in healing, but it's something that they have accustomed themselves to. Elsewhere he quotes the Talmud that says, indeed, from the verse, V'rapo yirape, he shall surely be healed, which is also a quote from the Torah. We derive in the oral tradition a principle that the doctor does in fact have permission to heal. In other words, it is not considered, if a Jew wanted to be a doctor, it would not be in violation of Jewish law to offer healing. But my Nachmanides points out that it only says he has permission to heal. It doesn't say that the patient has permission to be healed through a doctor. And therefore, he seems to come down with the conclusion that, yes, medicine is something that people do, but that in the ideal sense, a person shouldn't be involved in refuos, in healing. Now, and he also says that in the context in B'chuk HaSai is that in the future there will be no more doctors in the Messianic time.
I read that the doctor was an agent.
Now, that's the that's Nachmanides. According to Nachmanides, it sounds like to be a nice Jewish doctor is an oxymoron. Now, comes along Maimonides, and he is writing on a quote from the Mishnah, which tells of the king Hezekiah himself, who at one point in his reign, he got a hold of something called the Sefer HaRefuos, the book, the medical journal of the time, and he hid it so that the Jews wouldn't use it. And the Rambam is writing to explain what this is all about. So he says, I have heard those who have given the interpretation that the reason why he hid it is because Jewish people shouldn't go to doctors. They shouldn't be, every time they have an ailment, go running to the medical journal. Which is like Nachmanides says. And he says, I've heard some people explain that. And then it was getting out of hand, and Hezekiah had to hide the book. He's saying, this interpretation is shigayon, it's craziness. Anyone who would say such a thing has a feeble mind and mistaken. And he goes on, almost on a diatribe, to explain how this is could not be farther from the truth. He says an example. He says, how are we supposed to treat the most common disease? You know what the most common disease is known to man? No, that's spiritual. The most common physical ailment known to man. It starts with an H. No, it has six letters. Most people get it several times a day.
Hiccups.
No, even more common than hiccups. It's called hunger. It's this physical disease that we get around lunchtime and around dinner time.
You call me that a disease? That's not really.
And when that happens, the body is getting very, very weak and very deprived. You have to take medication, and that medication is a four-letter word called food. He says, "Is it sacrilegious to eat food when you're hungry?" Of course not. There's blessings and prayers. All right, but it's part of the physical condition. And this is Maimonides. He says it's not sacrilegious to eat. In fact, there are blessings that we say, thank you, Hashem, for providing the food, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and Birkat Hamazon, just to show that we believe that God is a provider of our food, but nevertheless, He created us with physical needs and we have to attend to them. He says, why is it any different when a person has an ailment if a doctor can prescribe something which will help you, why should it be any different to go take the healing? Why is it sacrilegious? You should say a prayer, which the Talmud, there is such a prayer that when you take medication or you do a medical procedure, you're supposed to say, may it be your will, Hashem, that through this medicine or this treatment, that you will grant me a healing. Maimonides says, what's wrong with that? Therefore, he interprets the statement that Chizkiah hid the book of the medical journals as different entirely. He says there were all kinds of practices among the nations, and a lot of them were witchcraft and all kinds of hocus pocus. And there are many things which the Torah instructs Jews not to do. And this was a medical journal that had some forbidden medical practices in them, and that is what Chizkiah was trying to prevent. That the Jews were going over to the forbidden practices of treatment, and that's what he was hiding. But if they would have been practices which are conventional and considered permissible by the Torah, he never would have hid that.
Who wrote this journal?
He says it could have been Solomon. King Solomon. That was according to the first interpretation. It was King Solomon. The Maimonides interpretation was it was written by some scholars of the other nations.
Religion today that says don't go to doctors. Is that an offshoot?
Okay, so now we have to understand here. We have two giants, Ramban and the Rambam. We study their words, both of their words. It sounds like they have two different views on medicine. You raise the issue of the Christian Scientists. Does that mean that they're followers of Nachmanides? Or what is it?
Their source is entirely different.
Well,
so you don't go to the doctor, period.
Right. Would that be considered to be acceptable practice?
I don't think so.
Let's say a person says, well, I want to follow Nachmanides' opinion. Would he be considered within normative Jewish practice? So, I remember that when I came to yeshiva, I heard a talk on this, and I also remember the quote from Ramban and the quote from Rambam, and the way it was explained to me is that there were two different schools of thought about this. Rav Dessler tells us there's no dispute. There are not two different schools. They all went to the same school. I don't know if they went to the same medical school, but Ramban and Rambam agree with one another. But in order to understand the differences, you have to know something about the inner workings of the spiritual world. You have to know that the notion of serving God is not just a question of deed, but it's also a question of spiritual orientation. To put it into plain language, Jewish people operate on different levels. And not just, I don't mean just individual Jews, how there's some Jews are on this level of religiosity and others are on others, but even in terms of the Jewish people as a whole, there have been periods when the Jewish people were on a higher level, and there have been periods when the Jewish people have been on a lower level. We all have the same commandments, and yet the way we operate are on different planes. And we've spoken about this before with Rav Dessler and with Rav Luzzatto, different levels before the sin and after the sin, before the giving of the Torah, at the moment of the giving of the Torah and after the giving of the Torah. When one reads through the book of the prophets, we're studying on Monday nights, there's the period of the judges, where the Jews did what it says, each man did what was straight in his eyes. And that means there was no central king. And during the reign of Samuel, people came and said, we want a king. And Samuel said, Oive, what's happened to us? He says, you've just gone down quantum fall from looking, he says, Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem. Till now, Hashem was your king. Now you need a human king. You've just taken a quantum fall. Rav Dessler says the following. Each description of our relationship to ailment is apropos to a different spiritual level. Nachmanides is speaking on the ideal level, on the level that the Jewish people lived on when they were with Moses, when they were in the desert, when they lived a miraculous existence, when they saw clearly that their food came from God, that they ate manna, when they observed that Moshe went to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and he did not take space food. He did not eat. He did not drink. When the Jewish people lived in the land of Israel and every seventh year they survived without a crop because whatever little food they had before satiated them. They had a temple. They had daily miracles. In those times, the Jewish people knew that when a person got sick, it was a message from God. And God was talking to you and he was saying, this is how I want you to respond. I want you to go to the prophet and I want you to find out what it is that is ailing you spiritually. Let him point that out to you. He can prescribe based on your ailment what exactly was the spiritual malady that is behind this, that makes it manifest itself in a physical symptom, and try to rectify, try to improve in that area, and your sickness will go away. In that level, on that plane of existence, to go to a doctor and say, "Doctor, I've got this ailment. Can you please prescribe me some medicine that will take away the symptom?" What you're saying is, "I don't want to go to the prophet. I don't want him to tell me that I'm weak in a certain spiritual area and have to correct it that way. I want to go to a doctor and have him get rid of the ailment in a physical way." He says to do that is to be sacrilegious. In that level. Yes, your question and you. Yeah.
In the book of Samuel or Kings, I'm not sure, there was a story about Isaiah or Eliyahu. When there was a famine going on, I think it was the story with Isaiah. The 3-year famine, and the people had no food, and Isaiah came to a woman's house, and she said, "How dare you come here when I have no food?" And she just had a little food, and she prepared some food for him. And while she was with her, all that food, that little bit of food, lasted forever and ever.
Right.
And then she realized who she really was.
Right, the little pitcher of flour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She realized that.
They lived with miracles, day in and day out. Yeah.
Maimonides and Nachmanides had a basic difference of approach. I mean, Nachmanides believed that Hashem controlled virtually every action, while Maimonides said that Hashem creates laws of nature and then steps back.
That's how typically these two passages are understood. Rav Dessler is coming to say that they don't have two different approaches. This is the novelty of Rav Dessler's approach, and I'm going to explain that to the best of my ability. So Nachmanides then is talking about on the higher plane. Now, if you say to me, Rabbi Goldberger, who ever heard of such a thing? Who ever heard that people get physically ill because of some type of a spiritual deficiency? Who ever heard of such a thing? And what will I say? Look at the Parsha. What does it say in the Parsha? Mm-hmm. If a person was habitual speaker of Lashon Hara, a spot would appear on his wall. And if he improved himself, the spot would go away. And if he didn't, the spot would show up on his suit. And if he improved himself, the spot would go away. And if not, it would come up on his body. And it would spread. And if it would spread, the Kohen would come, not the doctor, the Kohen would come and he would say, "You need to be alone for a week and you got to think about this. It's progressing. You have to realize this is as a result of your behavior." if you don't improve, you're going to have to be sent out of the camp. And he realized if he stopped speaking the Lashon Hara, or he purged himself from the desire to speak Lashon Hara, he would watch that spot shrink. It says right in the Parsha. I'm not making it up. Nachmanides is not making it up. We see that there is a physical manifestation of a spiritual ailment. All Nachmanides is saying is that it's not just tzaras, it's the general connection between the physical and the spiritual realm. And in a certain time in a period of Jewish history, that's how they treated all ailments. And to go to the doctor would be like somebody the Torah warns against. If you get a spot, don't try to scrape it off, or don't try to remove it with medicine. If you do, you're in violation of the Torah. That's exactly what the Chronicles is chastising Asa. He says he didn't seek Hashem, he went to the doctor when he was sick. And that's inappropriate if you're living during that time. Comes along Rambam when he's writing, and he's writing for his time. And he's writing actually for any time past the period of the First Temple, Rav Dessler says, when the people did not live on that plane. And we did not see daily miracles. And God didn't perform the daily miracles in an open way. Of course, as we once talked, God is behind everything in nature. And God continues to produce food. And God continues to give man the intelligence to find out about the human body and to create medicines and treatments. It's all from Hashem. But it is in our frame of reference, this is what you do. You go to the doctor and you take medication and you thank Hashem and you pray to Hashem that it should be successful. Not only did God, we could talk about whether God just made laws of nature or actually God is right behind the scene operating, but there's a mask in front of it, which is the mask of nature. And we all know, even with medicine today, that you can never predict. For some person or one person, the treatment will work. Another person, the treatment won't work. It's all in God's hands, we say, and hopefully we believe. So the Rambam agrees with Nachmanides, but he's writing for another time and place. Of course, nobody would chastise somebody today as Asa was chastised. For him to go to the doctor was sacrilegious. For a person, says Rav Dessler, for a person not to go to the doctor, to be a Christian Scientist, he says, would be foolish and idiotic. Because, Rav Dessler says, if you're not really on the level and you're just acting like those people did, then you're fooling yourself and you're not properly serving God. You have to serve God according to the level that you are on. And that's basically the treatment of this subject. But at the very end, he says something which really is something that we can apply to all areas of Judaism. He really asks, why bother studying the words of Nachmanides at all? It doesn't apply to us. We're not on that level. So let's just not read it. If you want to explain the Torah's view on medicine, read Maimonides. Why should we even bother reading Nachmanides? You know, person might make a mistake. He might become a Christian Scientist because he took it out of context. He says no. Rav Dessler says that no matter what level we're on, we've got to study the ideas, the thought process, and the ideals of those on the higher level. If we have it in our minds and in our intellect, and we can identify it, we can imagine, yes, there was a place and time when this was applicable, then, although in practice we will do that which is befitting our level, we will at least have the proper hashkafa. We will have the proper philosophy and attitude towards the subject. the fact that we constantly, and this is the Chumash, where really when we read Parshas Tazria Metzora, we have to realize that we're not reading about ourselves here and now. We're reading about a society that we can't even imagine, but we have to imagine it. And if we imagine this, then it will inspire us on our level to keep God into the picture. If a person only read the words of Maimonides, you know what would happen pretty soon? We wouldn't even keep God in the picture at all. We would stop praying for cholim, for sick people. We wouldn't turn to God for help. We wouldn't think of self-improvement. You know, the fact that Nachmanides writes what he does tells us something. That when a person, God forbid, has an ailment, they should take it to heart on a spiritual plane as well as go to the doctor. Not just go to the doctor and say, well, we're on the lower level. Go to the doctor. At the same time, increase our prayer. At the same time, think about what it is that we could do to make God more a part of our lives. How we could improve our religious level of observance. It's because we have the mindset. It's because the Ramban is part of our thought process, a part of our psyche. It will affect the way we think and the way we conduct ourselves, even on the lower level.
Involvement.
Yeah.
Just evolve.
Yes, that's right. But we've got to have that, and that applies for everything. You should never look at somebody and say, well, they're on a higher level. That's not for me to think about. You've got to think about it. Think about it. Imagine it. It might not be for you, but think about it. And if you think about it, and if you try to internalize it, it will affect the way you act on your level. And you shouldn't try to act on a level that you're not, but you should think about the possibilities. It will affect the way that you conduct your own lives. That is such an important principle in Jewish learning. And it's not hypocrisy to read something on a higher level and not to practice it, because the fact that it's in my mind, it's in the realm of possibility, it affects the way I behave. You know, we have the book Mesilas Yesharim, The Path of the Just, right? And that, what that is basically, it's also written by Rabbi Luzzatto, we've introduced it a few times, that is basically a ladder, a spiritual ladder of how to climb from level to level. And it starts off with the most basic. The most basic level is to study Torah. And then that brings up one to the level of what he calls zehirus, of watchfulness, where he's actually conscious to think about what he does and to consider whether it's proper, improper. And then he goes up to a higher level called zealousness, and then a level called cleanliness and purity, and on and on. And you start reading, you know, your mind goes fuzzy and you say that, you know, that's for an angel. And yet, it is commonplace for young students to read the entire book. And you might say, well, why bother reading it? I'll never get there. Rav Dessler is answering that question. Of course you should read it. Of course you should have it in your mind. You know, in pop culture, we're always identifying with the idols, with the best athletes, with the best scholars, with the best. Why? Because it inspires us. If I get out there and take my bat and I say, I'm Chipper Jones, right? Come on, who are we fooling? I'll never be like Chipper Jones. But the fact that I'm thinking about Chipper Jones means I'll play a little better. And that's the same thing even more in the spiritual world. The fact that we read, the fact that we dream, the fact that we conceive of higher levels, even levels that we could never even imagine, but we know that it's true, we read about such people, such places, it means that my davening will be a little bit more
meaningful,
a little bit more concentration. I will think a little bit more about my spiritual level and my approach, and maybe I will improve a little bit more because I was thinking about something, you know, or someone miles ahead. So we have, all in one, we have broached the issue of medical practice. We have, Rav Dessler has reconciled for us two great passages. They do not conflict with each other. They're just speaking about different levels. And we've learned that it is incumbent upon us to study both and to be familiar with both. And hopefully to whatever level we're on, to sink into our consciousness and help us to grow.
Shkoyach.